Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy world. So welcome to the 511th edition of SGBG. 1 week delayed, folks, but we're still here, and I'll fill you in on that a little bit later. Now, later in this message, I want to tie it all in to something St. Peter told us in his first letter. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, that the end of all things is at hand, and who can deny that? So be sober and watch unto prayer, and above all else, we have to practice what he's calling fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So what are we to do, folks? We're to practice hospitality one to another without grudge. So we shouldn't be holding these grudges, folks, when we do something good. And as every man receives the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the mentioned grace of God. Now, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And we're talking about believers here, folks. If any man minister, let him do so as the ability which God giveth, which God in all things may be glorified, how through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can have what the Bible calls this fervent charity among ourselves in these end times. But I'm telling you something, folks. These are literally the end times. Now, that doesn't mean the world's just going to explode and go out. What it means is it's an end of an age. So when Peter says that Jesus is coming, and he is, we need to express this fervent charity or agape love. And I'm going to tell you something at the end of the message. I'm going to tell you that it costs. But even though it costs, it covers. And since it covers, it cares, folks. But I'm telling you, the bottom line is that, you know, as believers, we're not fighting for a victory, folks. We have a victory. We have that victory in Jesus Christ because we're not in this world. We're just passing through. So refuse. I'm encouraging y'all to refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. Just remember, though, one thing, that it all started with that media-manipulated, lab-engineered coronavirus heist. Now, before we get started with today's Freaky Deaky News updates, as always, what I'd like to do is recall a few things from a past episode. So let's dive right into this, folks. I don't know if you remember this, but a while back, we played this media meme, as I call it. Now, this was off of Fox News, ABC, CBS, and many others. But just listen to how they all do journalism.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities,
the El Paso, Las Cruces communities,
Eastern Iowa communities,
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about trouble in trying to be responsible one-sided news stories
plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control
exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 You hear what they're doing, folks. They're not reporters. They're not journalists. What they are newsreaders. So now let's take this whole concept, okay, of compromising a profession, in this case journalism, and let's see what's going on in the world of medicine. So you think it's just happening in the media? Well, listen to this clip of some healthcare professionals pushing for the vaccine.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katya Castillo, and I have been practicing OBGYN for 26 years. When my patients ask me whether they should get vaccinated against COVID-19, I tell them yes. If you're trying to become pregnant now, or plan to try in the future, you can get a COVID vaccine.
There's no evidence that any vaccine, including COVID-19 vaccine, causes persistent. Folks, they're just reading a script. Doesn't that disturb you just a little bit? Well, it bothers me, folks. So I know there are some journalists out there that see this going on. There was Ben Swan. There was Carrie Lake when we talked about, I just forgot her name. She dropped the bombshell on Fox 26 Houston. Ivory Hecker, that's who it was, Ivory Hecker. And then just last week out of CBS News 62, we had another one. Listen to this from CBS News 62 weather anchor. And this is crazy, but she's out there reporting this news and doing the weather. And listen to what she slips into the middle of the weather. April Moss.
Good evening and thanks for watching First Forecast. I'm meteorologist April Moss and happy Father's Day. Today we saw temperatures above normal again, topping out at 85 degrees at Metro Airport. Plenty of sunshine today, but all good things must come to an end, and that starts as early as tomorrow morning with showers moving in around 8 a.m. And speaking of a brand new week, I will be sitting down this week with Project Veritas to discuss the discrimination that CVS is enforcing upon its employees. Tune in to Project Veritas for my full story.
So there you have it. Reporters are stepping up and starting to report that these news desks, these news agencies, are not what we, the people, think they are. So the next day, April gets a call from her station chief, the chief engineer, at CBS 62, and listen to the fallout.
Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
So I saw what you did on the air yesterday.
Yes.
You may get terminated for that. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am.
All right, so you're okay with that then?
I understand if CBS decides to let me go. I do understand that.
Why would you do that? You know, basically, that's the most selfish thing I've ever seen in 36 years working there, without even a close second. Because you don't give a crap about anybody else, you know, and like if you get terminated, which you might, and then the burden is going to place on other people, you couldn't care less. It's just all about April Moss.
Well, that's not...
That's very, very unfortunate. I mean, I know we've had some talks and, you know, and all of that, but I didn't know that you were that kind of person.
I'm not that kind of person.
You are, April. You are. You're all about April, and that's it. I'm April, and here's my stance. Regardless of the burden this is going to put on anybody else.
Well, I've tried to go through all of the direct channels that...
What do you think going on the air and getting fired is going to do? Do you think that's going to change their rules?
Well, it's not just CBS, but it's a lot of organizations and corporations across the country that are enforcing
unfair, unfair standards on people.
I can't believe you did that. I just can't believe it. I mean, we had, again, we had some chats offline and, you know, and some texts, you know, but to go on the air and just blatantly disregard any protocols, you know, and again, place all of this burden on other people, you know, I mean, I'm going to recommend that you get terminated. I'm going to recommend that. I'm not going to stand up for you. Because that was as blatant as anything I've ever seen.
Okay, but I've gone through all the natural channels with HR. I've sent them documentation stating that this is against federal law.
I understand that. I saw all that email. So do you think that going on the air and saying something and getting fired is going to change anything? I mean, what could you possibly have thought would affect that would happen other than you getting fired?
I was hoping that they would understand and realize that that enforcing these policies on people that are against federal law is not okay.
So you're going to go on there and say that, and you think that they're going to say, oh, you know what, she's right. We're going to go ahead and change those now because she said it on the air. You really thought that?
I was hoping there would be a change.
No,
because
there's not going to be. The only change is going to be, you know, on our weekend weather person. That's the only change.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So there you have it, folks. There's news people with a shred of integrity left. People like Swan, Lake, Hecker, Moss. Oh, Cheryl Atkinson. Remember her? She's probably one of the earliest back when Ben Swan actually woke up. And then did you hear that Carrie Lake from the Big Fox affiliate in Arizona is now running for governor? I was going to play that clip, folks, but I want to keep moving. Now, if you're a regular listener to SDG, you know that we've talked about predictive programming on here. You know, and the associated other behavioral responses like desensitization, cognitive dissonance. We've talked about this for years. And then a few months back, we played this clip from the Amazon series that came out in the fall of 2019. In fact, the last episode was filmed the day before event 201 at John Hopkins occurred. But you want to talk about predictive programming? Well, I want to remind you, we played this months ago.
Your father created a world-changing, not world-ending, a world-changing, world-improving omnivirus. And we have taken that virus and embedded it in the vaccine of the Sturge flu.
I knew it.
Created a panic, and now everybody's begging for the vaccine.
No. Demanding it with all the entitlement of a first world country.
Yes. And now we have exactly what we want. Hundreds of millions of Americans lining up, offering us their arms, and letting us give them our creation.
I'm pretty sure when every vaccinated person starts dying, they'll trace back to undetectable virus or not.
You've all been very busy. You're all very sharp. Are you sure none of you would like to come and work for me? No? Better than dying a terrible, violent death. Then understand this. What we are doing is far bigger than death.
Wait. This virus is not deadly.
It looks pretty damn deadly.
Tell me this. What have you done today to earn your place in this crowded world? Exactly. Everything I do is a cure for our current situation.
And how's it a cure if
you're killing people? I told you it does not kill. That was the amazing epiphany we had. We didn't have to kill to accomplish our goal.
What?
We intend to stop human reproduction for three generations. The busy, endless global assembly line of babies will grind to halt.
You're sterilizing people?
Uh-huh. In the first 5 years, we'll start to see major birth rate declines as teenagers vaccinated stay at their childbearing years.
You're controlling the future of human civilization.
So there you have it. Classic predictive programming. In fact, it's also lesser magic, cognitive dissonance, desensitization, all rolled up into one, and they threw a little humor in with it. So why am I playing this for you? Well, it's starting to make its rounds again in the alt media. Hal Turner had it on his news flashes 2 weeks ago. He announced that this filming was completed on October 17th, the day before Event 201 was held in New York City. So this is all in our faces, so to speak. And I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to tell you this. So what is this utopia all about? Well, these young adults go to this one of those Comic-Cons, and they're all caught up in this underground graphic novel called Utopia, which is this picture novel about this deep state organization that's unleashing viruses on the world, Zika virus, Ebola, all these different viruses, and it's all told in this picture novel. Well, last week, Terry and I decided to watch the 8-episode single season series Utopia, which you can still get on Amazon. And before every opening, they put a disclaimer. This is a fictional depiction with no association to anything happening with the pandemic. Yeah, right. Folks, this is classic programming. Like I said, loaded with a dose of B.F. Skinner's desensitization along with some cognitive dissonance. It's all there. It's a brilliant psyop. It's even loaded with all the right keywords like emergency use authorization, false flag, mRNA vaccine. They actually say that, folks. So I thought, well, I had to get into the head of the creator. Who is this person that wrote this? Did a little bit of research on it, and I found that it was Gillian Flynn, and there were a couple reviews, one from The Atlantic, okay? And listen, I just want to read this little bit from the Atlantic review of Utopia. Flynn's not champion all conspiracy theorists. Conspiracy theorists, so there they have it. She recognizes that real-life conspiracy theorists can have dangerous and harmful intentions, and she's not interested in promoting their baseless claims. You hear all this? You hear how they throw those words in, the cast out. Then listen to this direct quote from Gillian Flynn. There's so much to play with right now, where we're questioning what truth is. Truth versus spin versus alternative facts versus your scientific, in parentheses, scientific opinion, my scientific opinion. And then the article goes on and says, as she draws air quotes, speaking. All these things that used to either be true or false are now becoming malleable. This is postmodernism, folks. This is where your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Remember, I mentioned on a few shows ago that in today's society, we make our authorities the source of truth, whereas in the past, when the Western civilizations were on their ascent, they made truth the source of all authority. See that little flip? Then there's also another review from Yahoo.com Entertainment. And here's how it opens. In the absence of trustworthy institutions and constant simmering resentment pulsing through politics and culture alike, the concept of some vast conspiracy tying all disparate threads together must be, in its own twist, a comfort. So what this is all saying, folks, is that none of this is true. Go back to sleep. It doesn't matter. And that's the exact opposite thing. This is another page right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Let's face it, folks. It's there for anyone with eyes to see. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. Now, remember, this whole concept of labeling these things, which are contrary to the mainstream meme, all began when the CIA released the term conspiracy theory after the release of the Warren Commission report, which propagated or promoted the single magic bullet theory. You remember that? For the JFK assassination? So let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel alone in your beliefs? Well, I do. I'm telling you, lately, a day doesn't go by when I don't get one of those you're crazy looks when I shared the truth about the news to people around me. You know, the kind of stuff we cover here on the SDG broadcasts. You know, oftentimes it feels like I'm screaming at Niagara Falls and trying to win an argument, you know? And I've concluded that people either get it or they don't. And some simply don't. Now, doing these podcasts and talking with a few like-minded people that I know, like I did on Father's Day at my sister's house, it's the only thing that's keeping me sane right now. No, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. You know, in this clueless, sheeple-based society that we're living in, it's so much easier just to turn a blind eye and not have a care in the world. I don't know why, folks. I just can't live like that. It's frustrating talking to people who should know better but don't, you know, supposedly smart people that look at you and think you're the crazy one. I have this deep down desire to wake people up, you know, to the evil that we're living in. But the problem is they'd rather live unaware. You know, having to face reality, I believe, makes people just too uncomfortable. One problem we have here in America is that people are too comfortable and they don't want to lose that comfort. You know, we've come a long way, the founding of this nation, and it's not all good. We've seen a degradation in our morals, in our religious beliefs, in our overall cultural integrity, and in our freedoms, in our liberties. They've all fallen by the wayside, and we're very soon going to see bondage. Folks, there's a very good homemade movie. I can't believe it made it to Tubi. It's called 2025. It looks like somebody made it on their iPhone. Give it a look, and you'll see people are actually prophesying what we're going to have if we don't stand up and say no. You know, I long for the return of Jesus, Maranatha. You know, I hope he comes back before I finish this so that he can continue with his story that we call history. And if you deny what's coming at us at warp speed right now, you're in some sort of denial. You're turning your back to reality. So any of you that aren't doing that, any of you that are out there as truth warriors, I just encourage you to stay the course and keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's coming, folks, and he's coming back soon. Maybe one of the reasons I keep doing this every week, maybe one of the reasons I just continue to get those crazy looks from people is to try to help people like you listening right now so that you know that you're not alone and you're definitely not crazy. I'm telling you, folks, the time is now. It's here right now when men will either go mad, okay, because they just can't make sense out of all the craziness around here, and they'll attack people like you and me who are sharing the truth with them and call us mad when it's actually them that are mad. So what I'm saying is, just stay the course. But right now, folks, it's time to begin Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, let's begin with the coronavirus hype.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies are mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19.
So yeah, it is a big scam, folks. And we're starting to put pieces of the puzzle together. My good friend Seth, he's been very active in terms of trying to understand this magnetic meat and the fact that we're starting to see things stick to people who haven't even been vaccinated. Magnetic objects sticking to their heads, to their chests. And now we're starting to put some of the pieces of the puzzle together. Dr. Jane Ruby's doing some good research into this. Many independent info warriors are. And we've come up with this technology out there that's called magnetofection. It's a magnetic particle preparation by a company called Chemicell, and you can go onto their website, chemicell.com, and read the description of their magnetofection technology. It's a trademarked, novel, simple, and highly efficient method to transfect cells in a culture. And what it does is it explores magnetic force fields exerted upon what they're referring to as gene vectors. And then when these magnetized particles get into these magnetic force fields, they can move these particles to the appropriate location, to the target cell, in a manner that concentrated dose of whatever they're trying to deliver right to the cell where they want it. So what this does is greatly improves what they call transfection rates, and it can show up to a 1,000-fold increase in targeting. And it's a very short process, as we're seeing with these people getting these shots. And they're finding that this technology, which apparently is being driven even by, either by a crystalline protein or graphene, is very effective in localizing in these various cells in your body that have these ACE1 and ACE2 receptors. It's a targeted delivery system, folks. The spike protein is a bioweapon. It is. We have to see this. And what I'm starting to see is this is putting us up, setting us up for what I'm going to call an extinction-level event, a man-made, bioengineered, genocidal extinction-level event. And it's got about four or five steps, and it's being perpetrated by all the various leaders of these great Western nations who are trying to help us, the NGOs, the corporate affiliates, both in the media and big tech, you know, with all the censorship they're doing. And then let's not forget the secret societies. And like I've said from the beginning, this is like 9/11 unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. It really is. So these COVID pandemic perps, okay, they've set into motion with their mRNA jabs what I'm referring to is extinction level event, man-made for, what do you want to call it, the Great Reset, Beta 2. It's going to be the new man. Okay, and it's a bioweapon using the spike protein, which is now coming out to actually have been developed in the lab as a bioweapon to have what they're referring to as these multiple delivery vectors. So how are they going to do it? Well, they're going to do it through the release of the COVID-19, but they were already working with vaccines for probably at least the last 20, 30 years to develop this. Then they have the military deployment of 5G. That's an energy weapon, folks. That's ionizing radiation at 60 gigahertz, and it causes the same effects that we're seeing with all these quote-unquote COVID patients. In fact, if you look at the hotspots around the world when this whole scamdemic started, and I've been saying this on the show for over a year, if you look at the hotspots like New York City, Milan, Italy, Wuhan, China, those were the cities that had the launch of 5G. Now, when you concentrate people, when you concentrate energy at that particular frequency, you get sick and dying people. I don't know what's so hard about this. Then you also had the jab. So you have the spike protein introduced into the culture. And you know what China did when this all started is they didn't close their international travel. They closed their national travel. So they kept it isolated to Wuhan and a couple other hotspots in China. And then they let these people in these areas travel all around the world. This is all by plan, folks. So you can look into each of these things I just said, and you can see that they are all moving towards the same thing. Think that's a coincidence? I hardly think so, folks. I hardly think so. This has been in place for a long time. And then on top of it all, you know, you've got the chemtrails. We've been trying to figure out how are they delivering this magnetofection technology, be it graphene, be it the crystalline proteins. How are they delivering it to people that aren't getting the vaccine? Well, through our food. Well, how are they getting it to our food? Well, there's a couple theories. They either genetically modify the particular produce or vegetable or fruit so that it becomes receptive to picking up these certain metals in the soil like the cannabis plant can do. So there's articles out there that they've genetically modified tomatoes to be able to deliver this gene vector technology, the magnetic gene vector technology. So could it be that it's in the food for the livestock and now it's actually in our produce? This is a theory right now, folks, but that's a possible delivery method. So you've got the chemtrails, you've got the vaccinations, you've got the GMO technologies, and it's all coming together for the perfect extinction level event when you couple it with 5G, chemtrails, all these things, and now they turn on HARP again. So now you have the excitation source. Like RFID, you have to take an external source and excite the radio frequency identification tag. Well, now in your brain, in your various organs of your body, you have these cells that are receptive to magnetic fields, and all kinds of bad things could happen. So in recap, before I move on, there was this pathogenic microorganism intentionally weaponized in a U.S. military laboratory. The Congress outlaws it, so Fauci and company move it over to Wuhan, and they develop this and release it prior to the 2020 elections. I mean, come on, we saw it with all the predictive programming, the white magic, lesser magic in the Utopia show. We see it with the Event 201. It's all there. What a brilliant way. And then at the same time, roll out 5G. And then all pull off the shelf what you had ready all along, the mRNA technology. Oh, and couple it with your chemtrail spraying. You have this brilliant, perfect storm to create a man-made extinction-level event. So what happens when people want to speak out? What happens when professionals want to speak out? Well, you know, folks, there are news people with some integrity yet. We've covered them. You know, Hecker, Ivory, Atkinson, Carrie Lake, Ben Swan, they're trying to speak out. So what happens when doctors try to speak out? Well, here's a clip from Dr. Brian Brittle. He's warning about the vaccine. He's one of the advisors to the Canadian Health Authority. He went on one radio show and warned people that some bad things are happening and they think they made a mistake. And listen to what happened to Dr. Brittle after he made this public warning. Let's listen to this clip. It's rather long. It's about 8 minutes, but it's full of information.
My name is Byram, and I am an associate professor of viral immunology at the University of Guelph. And since the pandemic was declared, I have been trying to serve as a voice of objective scientific opinion so that the public can make the most informed decisions for themselves possible. I am a publicly funded servant, so I'm a public servant. You pay for me, Canadians, from your tax dollars. I work at an academic institution which is publicly funded. And therefore, I see it as my responsibility to Canadians that when they have questions, that they can come to me and ask the questions. And if they are pertinent to my areas of expertise, then I feel it's my responsibility to give the most informed answer that I can so that they can help make informed decisions. 2 weeks ago, I gave an interview. It was a five-minute radio interview. The company that runs the radio show did nothing wrong. The host asked me one question, and she did absolutely nothing wrong. She was doing her job. The question she asked me was if I knew whether or not there could be a possible link between COVID-19 vaccines and cases of heart inflammation that have been reported around the world in young males. In this case, it was 12 young males in Israel.
Let us bring in Dr. Byram Bridle. He's an associate professor of viral immunology at the University of Guelph. Doctor, you've been very, very open on this whole issue, and you know, you're not an anti-vaxxer by any stretch, but what do you think about this inflammation in the heart, and is it an actual threat?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Alex. As you said, I'm very much pro-vaccine, but always making sure that the science is done properly and that we follow the science carefully before going into public rollout of vaccines. I'll forewarn you and your listeners that the story I'm about to tell is a bit of a scary one. Let me assure you that everything that I'm stating here, that I'm going to state right now, is completely backed up by peer-reviewed scientific publications. SARS-CoV-2 has a spike protein on its surface. That spike protein is what allows it to infect our bodies. That is why we've been using the spike protein in our vaccines. The vaccines we're using get our cells in our body to manufacture that protein. If we can mount an immune response against that protein, in theory, we can prevent this virus from infecting the body. The spike protein gets into the blood, circulates through the blood in individuals over several days post-vaccination. It accumulates, once it gets in the blood, it accumulates in a number of tissues such as the spleen, the bone marrow, the liver, the adrenal glands. One that's of particular concern for me is it accumulates at quite high concentrations in the ovaries. The spike protein is a pathogenic protein. It is a toxin. It can cause damage in our body if it gets into circulation. Now we have clear-cut evidence. The vaccine itself plus the protein gets into blood circulation. When in circulation, the spike protein can bind to the receptors that are on our platelets and the cells that line our blood vessels. When that happens, it can do one of two things. It can either cause platelets to clump, and that can lead to clotting. That's exactly why we've been seeing clotting disorders associated with these vaccines. It can also lead to bleeding. And, of course, the heart's involved. It's a key part of the cardiovascular system. That's why we're seeing heart problems The protein can also cross the blood-brain barrier and cause neurological damage. That's why also in the fatal cases of blood clots, many times it's seen in the brain. When that happens in some people, it can cause damage, especially to the cardiac. After I did this interview, 5 minutes, again trying to present to a lay audience, it was like a nuclear bomb went off in my world, and my life was thrown upside down. And I'm sure my life will never be the same again. So within 24 hours, there was a libelous website that was put up using my domain name. A fake Twitter account was developed to slander me, and I've been undergoing daily attacks, either through email, people attempting to call me, and definitely in the social media. And I never had a presence within the social media until recently, when I now have a fake social media presence. I'm experiencing harassment, lots of harassment in the workplace. It's even gone so far as to have one of the members of the Ontario COVID-19 Science Advisory Committee. They were actually the first ones to post the link to this slanderous website, and they have fanned the flames of this smear campaign quite strongly since then. They even went so far as to release confidential medical information about my parents. I've written a comprehensive guide for parents so that they can make informed decisions about COVID-19 vaccines when it comes to vaccinating their children. This guide you can find at the website for the Canadian COVID Care Alliance. So that is CanadianCOVIDCareAlliance.org. I'm very familiar with vaccines, and traditional vaccine technology would tell us that when you put a vaccine into the shoulder, and that's where we get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccines, traditional vaccine technology tells us the vaccine would stay on the shoulder. And then what would happen is cells from the immune system would come and pick up the spike protein. All these vaccines get our bodies to manufacture the spike protein, right? So cells of the immune system pick up that spike protein, take it to the local draining lymph node, and activate the immune system. That's why often when we get sick or we've been vaccinated, sometimes our lymph nodes swell, because that's where our immune response is happening, and our B and T cells go throughout the body to look for the virus. And so what we have found is that this assumption about the vaccine remaining in the shoulder does not apply to this novel vaccine technology. It's never been in people before. These messenger RNA vaccines get distributed throughout the whole body. What we have found, in fact, is that as little as 25% of the dose remains in the shoulder, and it traffics all over the body. Also, many of you might have heard of polyethylene glycol, because that is one of the components of the vaccine that sometimes people develop anaphylactic shock to. Okay? The polyethylene glycol was put in this formulation. A lot of people don't realize these lipid nanoparticles, these little bubbles of fat that carry this little blueprint that helps our cells make the spike protein, those lipid nanoparticles were actually originally designed to disperse throughout the body. They were designed to be gene therapy vectors and also carry drug cargo, especially into the brain, where it could be used to treat things like Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease and brain cancers. That polyethylene glycol, just so that you know, is designed to help facilitate that spread throughout the body. You get about five-fold greater spread throughout the body with the polyethylene glycol there. You know why? Because when the polyethylene glycol is there, it actually helps the lipid nanoparticles bypass the very cells of our immune system that are supposed to pick up the antigen and take it to our lymph nodes. So arguably, by having that polyethylene glycol there, not only are we promoting spread throughout the body, but we may actually be dampening the very functionality of the vaccine that we want. This vaccine spreads throughout the body. What we also know is that proper studies have not been conducted. Remarkably, this is based on a rat study, a study done in rats, and that's appropriate as a starting point, but that should not be the end point. This should have been done in at least two animal models. And remarkably, it hasn't been done in people. And it has not been done at all with the actual vaccine formulation that we are administering to our children. It has not, the actual vaccine formulation has not even been evaluated. What's been evaluated is the lipid nanoparticle technology, but not the vaccine itself. And also what people don't realize, and there was no evidence of any issues with fertility. These rodents are completely inappropriate models for COVID-19. They don't express the receptor like we do. So of course you're going to see safety in a model like that. It's an inappropriate animal model. Mass vaccination of millions of healthy Canadian children demands that the level of safety associated with this, the assessed safety profile has to be exceptionally high, right? We've had 13 Canadians under the age of 20 die in 16 months, with well over 2,500 dying from other causes, okay? So this is just to put it in perspective. So we really need to focus on the safety here. So right now, I don't recognize the country that I was born into,
And I would simply ask all Canadians, please, right? I simply want us to learn to respect one another again. Thank you very much.
So there you have it. Dr. Brittle, he covered just about every base on there, you know, from how this is a vector-focused technology to how it transfers to all portions of your body. It doesn't stay localized, to how it creates a huge risk, how this hasn't been studied in phase three animal studies. Folks, we the people are the phase three modeling. And then you heard what he warned about the children. Did you hear the video out this week about all the children that are being forever damaged, crippled, mutilated, killed by these vaccines for something that 99.9995% of them recover from, if they even get it? And then Dr. Brittle even mentioned the concern with infertility. It's all there, folks. Now, this information was supposed to be shared with you last week, but I've been having trouble with this platform at Blog Talk Radio, and then lo and behold, I thought everything was good, and I get an emergency call from the plant, and I had to go in. We had a problem with our cooling system, and you cannot lose cooling to glass furnaces when you're melting at temperatures in excess of 2,300 degrees Fahrenheit. You can have equipment literally melt down on you within minutes. So I had to rush up to the plant. I was up there till late at night, and I just didn't want to try to change the schedule on the show and do all that on the same day because I had problems with it, as you saw from the previous show. So I don't want to make my problems the topic of this show, but I want to let you know that I think the information I'm sharing today is relevant enough, even though it's dated 1 week, that I want to continue with it. So now it's time to move on, folks, to the Kabuki Theater.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means solve, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflation before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, I don't think anybody would deny that these are very interesting times we're living in. These pressures from the factions within the ruling elite. You know, I've talked about it as the English Freemasons versus the French Freemasons, the Luciferians versus the agnostics, whatever you want to call it. Okay, we have all sorts of things hitting the American public, from UFO disclosure reports to the audit reports out in Arizona, to all of this scandal with Fauci, the fraud, and what's really going on with this whole pandemic, you know? Well, I have information right now concerning what's happened in the Georgia election. Remember the rhino down there, Secretary of State Raffensperger, splicing a video showing that election poll worker named Ruby taking ballots from under the table and feeding them through the tabulator multiple times? Well, that's a playbook, right? That's a page right out of the playbook, Rules for Radicals. And you may be thinking, well, how is that? Well, the very thing that he accused President Trump of doing, which President Trump didn't do, and it's coming out now in a report by Carter Jones, which I'll cover in a minute. But the very thing that Raffensperger and his attorney, but the very thing they accused Trump of doing with regard to the security video is exactly what they did with the phone call that Raffensperger and his attorney illegally recorded. Ryan Germany's his name. They illegally recorded when President Trump called them and asked them to look into this fraud in the Georgia election. So anyways, we later learned that Raffensperger leaked an illegal recording that he and his attorney had spliced together to make it look like Trump was asking them to manipulate the vote results in Georgia. And that's the exact opposite of what happened. That's the exact opposite. So then what happened is Carter Jones created a report for Raffensperger describing what happened that night at the State Farm Arena. And so Raffensperger knew about this, yet he did nothing. And this came out in a report that Carter Jones did, proving that Ryan Germany, on election night at the State Farm Arena, documented everything that was in that video that the Trump team and some of the Republicans in investigating this election were claiming. Carter Jones shows in his report on page 8, which I have a copy of, and if you'd like a copy of this, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you a copy of it. But in this report on page 8, he shows a time-stamped photo history of Ralph Jones, Ruby, and a couple others feeding these in time and time again. That's called ballot harvesting, folks. So Jones reported this, that they were stuffing the ballots, so to speak. He shares this, proving that Ralph and company rescanned the ballots. This was shared on election night, okay, by the Secretary of State of Georgia and his attorney, and yet nothing was done. It's showing crimes committed by the election officials, by one, sending the election observers home, then two, allowing this ballot harvesting to occur. Yet there was no investigation ordered, no people arrested, no subpoenas, nothing. He didn't even make note that he received this information. So what's this all telling us? It's time that these officials in these swing states are investigated as possible accomplices in the 2020 election fraud. You know, folks, I've contacted my state senators, and you know what I've heard back from them? You know what I've heard back from them? I have something I'd like to play for you. This is what I heard back from all of my inquiries concerning investigating what happened here in Pennsylvania. Remember, in my small county, we lost 19,958 votes for President Trump. They just disappeared. I only have 70,000 people living in my county. This is what I heard in response to my inquiries. And, you know, we have all of this evidence now that Fauci perjured himself before the Senate investigatory committees on what really happened with this coronavirus. And here's what we're hearing happening to Fauci after he perjured himself. It's pretty much proven that not only was this produced in a lab, but it was a bioweapon released intentionally. And that's why I call this Kabuki Theater, folks. But I have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. She almost tripped me, folks. Okay, so I want to talk about something today, something that's very important if you live up in the north. And it's snow removal.
Gosh. Gosh.
Yeah, snow removal, Gomer, among other things. Now, you may be saying, well, why would I want to talk about snow removal in the middle of the summer? Well, all homesteaders, regardless of where you live and regardless of whether you have to do snow removal, need to be at least one, preferably two seasons ahead in all their planning and prep. And that's what I'd like to cover in this Coop Talk segment today. Okay? I'd like to apply this concept of planning a prep and talk about things that we need to do as homesteaders to stay ahead. Now, don't confuse P&P with the two P's, which are purpose and place. So when you're trying to organize your storage building, your equipment shed, everything that's in that shed should have a purpose. And if it has a purpose and you continue to possess it, then it should be in its place. And that's how you stay organized. Well, that's different than planning and prep, what I'd like to talk about today. So if you're a homesteader and you live in the north, you have winter needs that you should be preparing for now. That means stocking your woodshed with firewood and stacking it properly so that the cooler wood burns in the fall, the hotter burning wood burns in the midst of the winter, and then you have some cooler burning wood for the late winter, early spring to just take the chill out of the air. Then there's weatherproofing. And then there's your winter power tools like snow blowers, snow plows, chainsaws, all the things you need to remain mobile in the midst of a bad winter storm. So right now, folks, you should be prepping and doing all those sorts of things. But now, you know, it's time to move on. and it's time for our hopium report. Where is hopium? There's hopium.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepared to get high on hopium.
So, you know, it's crazy, folks. I slipped that coop talk in there between some of these more serious things just to shake it up. And I see some listeners drop off when I go to coop talk. Hey, if you're coming back to re-listen, don't forget that there's the Hopium Report, there's the Absurdian Report, there's Ken's Corner. We've got Back to the Future, and I cover and I'm tying a lot of the things from the news into these other segments. So, you know, be sure to re-listen or come back to the archive and play through this. Or maybe I have a problem I'm putting the coop talk in the wrong place, or maybe it's just not relevant information. Please let me know, and if I have to, I'll drop coop talk with Henrietta. But, you know, concerning hopium, I'm hearing a lot of things about the audit. 17 states have sent delegations, this and that, the audit. You know, this state visited Arizona, that state visited. Then we had the praying medic, whatever you think of him. He's over Dave Hayes. He posted on Telegram the following: Maricopa audit update. Audit team is on track to finish hand recount and ballot scanning by the end of last week. A delegation from Indiana visited the audit floor. A second delegation visited from the Washington state, and a third delegation visited from Georgia. You know, and then I read this over at the Federalist, Culture, Politics, and Religion. So this is from thefederalist.com. Think about this. When Trump was elected in 2016, the fake news, big tech, corrupt politicians created a fake story that he colluded with Russia to steal the elections. Did they show proof? Did they even mention an audit? Did they audit the election? No. Ask yourself why. Then fast forward to 2020. Trump said the election was rigged. He explained how they were going to do it. And now we have an audit. If they did an audit back in 2016, what would it show? This is why they never wanted to call an attention to the election in 2016, which they called a stolen election. They never wanted to call attention to it with an audit because they knew it wasn't stolen. This was all from the Federalists. But I'm sorry, folks. In my humble opinion, nothing's going to change, audit or not, truth or not. And then we got Steve Bannon out this week saying that something big was going to happen concerning the Arizona election results yesterday. And you know what I heard? You know what I heard concerning all that? Just more crickets. Yeah, that's right, folks. I didn't hear anything, even in the alt media. This, folks, is what I call classic hopium. But now I want to move on to the Absurdian Report, and got some good things there, but I can't find the Absurdian Report. There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Pundit, Arizona's Katie Hobbs. She's the Secretary of State. She has a meltdown on CNN with, I forget who she was on, Anderson Cooper. So she's ranting over the Arizona election results. And I just want you to hear how crazy this thinking is. So now, if all of this isn't real and it's all what they're calling fraudits, the left's calling this fraud. Why are they protesting so much? Listen to Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State of Arizona, have a meltdown interview with Anderson Cooper on CNN. Two-minute clip.
I mean, if a company chooses, you know, if a private company, which seems to, I mean, Kyung went down to Florida to try to.
Before we get started on that, folks, listen to Anderson Cooper. Just listen to Anderson Cooper. I mean, I think this is scripted. I think they have to do this, and I think they recognize how absurd it is. But just listen to Anderson try to stage the question and pitch the softball to her. Just listen to him, how he stutters and stammers.
I mean, if a company chooses, you know, if a private company, which seems to, I mean, Kyung went down to Florida to try to find their offices, and they don't really seem to have offices. They have kind of like shells of offices where people are paid to, I guess, answer a phone for many companies. And some guy in Montana now has some of this data in his house, in his remote house or cabin. I don't know what he's doing with that. What is just, and again, we don't even know really where he is. What is to stop, you know, this company or these people from just coming forward and saying, oh, well, these ballots were made out of bamboo, or we found traces of bamboo from them because they were shipped from China. Who's to say, I mean, obviously it's not the case, but yes. What do you do in that case?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because we think that's exact. There is nothing to stop them from saying any of those things. And so what we have seen it to be our job to do is to shed light on what's happening in the Coliseum the best we can. We had to go to court to force them to disclose their procedures, allow independent observers in the room, and even allow reporters in the room. And with that limited transparency, at least we've gotten enough information to be able to say, look, what they're doing here is not an audit. They are not following best practices, and there's nothing going on here that lends any credibility to the outcome that's going to come out of it. And so, I mean, that's what we've been able to do, but I am concerned about what happens when this report comes out, because we know, number one, the election that we certified, those certified results are an accurate reflection of the will of the voters in Arizona. And number two, there's nothing that can be done now to overturn the election, even if this audit was valid. But there are many people, I think you said one out of three Americans, that believes that Joe Biden was not duly elected. What are they going to do when this report comes out? And that's the scary thing.
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. You heard it right. They're going crazy over this. They're going crazy over at CNN and some of the liberal medias and a lot of these rhino Republicans know what's going on. Now, the really absurd point here is that Katie Hobbs, you know, she's and the likes of her, these people that have a total disregard for we the people, and these bought and paid for newscasters, CIA agents like Anderson Cooper, truly believe that even if the election is proven to have been stolen by fraud, this imposter in chief and all the Democrats and Republicans involved in this scam should continue to usurp illegitimate power. And then she has the nerve to say, I'm concerned about what happens when this report comes out, because we know, number one, the election that we certified was an accurate reflection of the will of the votes in Arizona. And then number two, nothing can be done to overturn this election, even if the audit is valid. Folks, they know there's fraud. So either by hook or crook, these lying thieves believe they're going to win at the end of it all. They're a den of thieves, every single one of them, folks. They are. And it's sad, it's sick, and it's getting to the point where we have to be very careful, because there's a gauntlet in front of us. We, the people, have got to take back this usurped authority, but we cannot do it violently. It has to be done peacefully. It's truly being left to the patriots to do their job. You know, the founders provided a path and instructions, just like the Bible does, to deal with this. And so this isn't a fight against some bad politician. This is a power struggle on a spiritual plane. It's the classic battle of good versus evil. That's that plain and simple. So the question remains, and this is what I'm wondering, are there enough men and women out there yet with character and integrity and what it takes to do their jobs. That's what it boils down to, folks. But now we have to move on. It's time for Ken's Corner.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
You know, folks, I've lived long enough, and I have a milestone birthday coming up here in September. I've learned one thing. If I can say I've learned one thing, it's that coincidences are a very interesting thing. Now, when they start to stack up, the likelihood that all these quote-unquote coincidences just randomly occur, that becomes an extremely low probability. Think about it. Amazon releases Utopia. John Hopkins and the Bill Gates Foundation and Gavi, they plan Event 201, both in the late season of 2019. And then lo and behold, what comes out in 2020? COVID-19. So you begin to wonder if they actually are coincidences at all. Could these somehow be planned events, all intended for the same underlying outcome, like the New World Order and the Great Reset? Just think about it, folks. In this past year and a half, we've had all these things happen. Remarkable things that if you told somebody 5 years ago this was going to happen, they'd look at you like you're crazy. But we're told by the mainstream media and the powers that be that these are all just mere coincidences. Dr. Fauci approves gain-of-function research in Wuhan. COVID-19 spreads throughout the world early in 2020. All coincidence. At the same time, Donald Trump is running for re-election as he ratchets up sanctions against China and creates a America First economic policy. Then these pandemics are the excuse and the rationale for all of these bureaucrats to make fundamental changes to our election process and to our normal way of doing business and conducting our affairs. Unlawful, unconstitutional changes to the control of people and to the management of an election. All of this together created some very questionable outcomes, like the election results from 2020, like this whole economic plan for the Great Reset. Now over 51% of the population believes that fraud was affecting the election outcome, and that number is growing every day. And coincidentally, we're just supposed to believe that the election of 2020, which neutralized China's greatest threat, Donald Trump, was just all coincidence. And it's coincidental that the beneficiary of this compromised election, Joe Biden, their lapdog, has deep and troubling financial connections to China through his son, Hunter Biden. Oh, we're just supposed to believe that this all is a coincidence. It's a coincidence that his son, Hunter Biden, flew on Air Force Two while Biden was VP, and coincidentally, they made millions of dollars from Chinese-sponsored business ventures, and it's just a coincidence that these emails from Hunter Biden's laptop indicated that Joe was getting 15% from all these deals. And it's just a coincidence that in the past 2 months we learned from the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, that a high-level Chinese defector is showing that this was a bioweapon released from a bioweapons lab in China funded by the United States. And this information isn't being shared with the CIA and the FBI. Wonder why. So this defector is proving evidence that COVID-19 was not only created in a Wuhan lab, but it was released deliberately by the Chinese to undermine U.S. domestic policy under the Trump administration. And then coincidentally, when Representative Mike Getz comes out and questions FBI Director Christopher Wray about some of these things concerning how they're treating COVID-19 whistleblowers, right after that, the press does this all-out attack on him, insinuating that he had some kind of inappropriate relationship with underage girls, yet no evidence has been presented. And how'd that go? Now, the NSA is targeting Tucker Carlson, another outspoken voice, and it's all supposed to be coincidence. In a time when China's making substantial investments in American property and business, in a time when the behavior of these neocons and these establishment political hacks and all of their relationships with China are coming out and yet being swept under the rug. And whenever you try to say this is a China virus, you're being called a racist. Then there's all these Chi-Com land purchases here in the United States. Folks, China bought 180,000 acres, 280 square miles in Texas beside a military base, and they're claiming they're doing it to build a wind tunnel for them. Yet they have a 6,000-foot runway that they're expanding. When you get to a runway that big, folks, you can land big aircraft. And we're told that this is all a coincidence. Oh, there's nothing here. Don't look that way. It's normal. This happens all the time. This is just normal. Yeah, you know, when you ask a vice imposter in chief, Kamala Harris, a serious question, here's what you get for an answer from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
that's what you get. So just think about it, folks. Is this all coincidence, or is this by design? Well, I think that's a perfect segue into our next segment, which is Back to the Future, where we take something old and bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock back today to 2011. And what I'd like to do, folks, is read a clip of an email from my former Blog Talk Radio partner, John. And he sent this to me on February 1st, 2011. And it was titled, Under Magnification, Excrement from Morgellons Victims. So John writes, Terry is a fellow that's been writing to me for quite some time. He was a listener to the show. John says he's Jesus-filled but has Morgellons from the chemtrails. I sent him to JGLM Ministries. They were a deliverance ministry that we used to push for people that needed healing and deliverance, you know, SOZO, so to speak. So John says, I sent him to JGLM Ministries for healing prayers and told him to contact me for further prayer if needed. Take a close look at the picture he sent. This is not normal. Terry got a microscope so he could see the output from these secretions. Now, this was in 2011, folks. Then wind the clock ahead to 2013. So that was my first introduction to the whole Morgellon thing, the whole topic of these nanoparticles that were being found in people's bodies. Then in 2013, while researching for an upcoming show, I stumbled upon this article. A rumor has surfaced that Morgellons has a patented weapon technology, and here are the patent numbers. So I sent this out to our, we used to call it our intellectual trust, our tribulation now brain trust, you know. They had Lauren, Kathy, John, myself. We had Martin Gunning from Great Britain. And there were patents in there. U.S. patent number 6245531, polynucleotides encoding insect endocrine receptors. Patent number 5514578A. This was a patent application. Polynucleotides encoding insect steroid hormone receptor polypeptides and cells transformed with same. So they list the inventors as they always do. And this was I'm going to call it a proof that they were using technologies in chemtrails. People were starting to find these in the chemtrail residues to introduce these foreign bodies, these foreign nanobodies, into the human body. Now wind the clock ahead to a little later in that year, and I get this email from a listener. And this listener sends us this article titled Aliens, Plagues, and Epidemics. And it starts to tie all these things together to these synthetic fibers, these nanoparticles that people are finding in their bodies. And they're referring to them as Morgellons. And this was all covered on a radio show on Friday, September 16th, back in 2016, I believe this was. And the title of the show was The Truth Denied Talk Radio. And they were covering all this information that was being put out by a woman named Carolyn Carter. She was a Morgellon sufferer and researcher that put together a website that was documenting all this information. Now, you may be saying, why am I talking about all this stuff? Well, now let's wind the clock ahead or back, depending on where we're at, because I'm kind of jumping around here, to 2015. And another listener named Arlene Johnson sends me an article titled Trans Evolution, Riding the Planet of Pesky Humans. This was published on Before It's News, and it was a review written by Rady Anata of a book titled Trans Evolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. And this was written by Daniel Ustorn. And it's a it's painting a rather grim future for us humans. It talks about technologies enabling genetic changes. Oh, did you hear that, folks? Technologies enabling genetic changes. Can anybody say mRNA vaccines? Bionic replacements, artificial nano-sized neural connections. Can anybody say ferromagnetic nanoparticle technology? Folks, it's all here. It's all coming out. So I'm putting these pieces of the puzzle together over the years. And in this book, Ustalin claims that we're not just evolving into a new species, we're being transformed into it. The deep state's actually creating a new life form that marries material science and biology. This is transhumanism, folks. And then he writes, and I want to quote him, transhumanism fills people's hopes and minds with dreams of becoming superhuman. We have all these Marvel comic shows. Could it be predictive programming for what they're planning on doing? But the fact of the matter is, and I'm quoting Ustalin again, but the fact of the matter is that the true goal is the removal of that pesky human free will itself. So do you think that all these things from the magnetic technology we're seeing in the vaccinated and the unvaccinated and alike, the experts telling us that it passes the blood-brain barrier and actually lodges in our brain, the fact that there are these technologies out there which can stimulate RFID-type technologies, which can stimulate these magnetic receptor cells to vibrate and oscillate. Could it be a kill switch? Could it be a way to put voices into our head using HARP? These are all legitimate questions that need to be asked. So he continues and covers a lot of material in this book, and I encourage you to read it, Trans Evolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. Now, I can go on and on with this. I have lots of notes here, folks. But what he covers in this book is simply amazing, and I'm encouraging you to get this book and read it. It's basically everything that's out there. Oh, and by the way, I've mentioned that this technology that's being used was mentioned as crystalline proteins in Jim Marr's book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. So needless to say, looking back on all these email records was a revelation, and I think at the bottom line, it's depopulation. You know, the Georgia Guidestone says that we need to maintain a population of 500 million people. And I think in Trans Evolution, Ustalin makes a significant contribution, knowingly or unknowingly, to the database of everything we need to turn global conspiracy theory into global conspiracy fact, further proving and clarifying and assimilating all the information we need to put the pieces of this disparate puzzle together. So like I said, it was a revelation. But then in 2016, John pulls that nutty on the air with John Cerucci concerning firearms, and then I was double-crossed, and John claims I left the show. He basically locked me out. And so honestly, folks, since 2016, I hadn't given much more thought to the entire Morgellon topic until this magnetic meat and the magnetic non-vax people all started to appear on the internet. And then my friend Seth, he talks to me about it. And then last week, it's on InfoWars. And I'd like to play this clip. I played you a clip 2 weeks ago about Seth testing meat and seeing that it is magnetic. And folks, I've confirmed that test. We bought 2 filet steaks from our local butcher. I put magnets on them, and the magnet stuck. So then I bought a piece of stuffed round steak. They roll the stuffing around the steak, and you're supposed to bake it. I don't know if you ever tried that. And then they slice it into rolls, like almost like sushi or like, you know, those types of wraps that people like to eat. But anyways, I'm getting off point. I put a magnet right where the stuffing was, and it fell off. So it wasn't the cellophane. It wasn't condensate on the cellophane, and I dried it. And I actually noticed that condensate on the cold meat, you know, through the cellophane actually made the magnets fall off. So Seth talked about that. I've confirmed it. And then Seth gets on InfoWars last week, okay? And he talks about magnetic meat. Listen to this clip from War Room with Seth, my friend.
Let's go to Seth in Pennsylvania. Seth, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Owen, hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'm in the middle of a tattoo, so I'm going to try and, you know, keep this quick. But I called on Friday about the unvaccinated being magnetic, and all of my research that I've been doing, I made a rumble just like you said. I wasn't aware of the Google Drive.
No. Okay, I got your link. And by the way, folks, Seth, he's on my Subscribestar, sharing all this information, by the way. If you want to see the videos and everything Seth is talking about, a lot of people have actually taken that information off my Subscribestar. And Seth, I don't know if you saw, we also have some healthcare workers in there, unvaccinated, that are now completely magnetic.
Exactly. And I sent you guys also a link to a website that there's a COVID vaccine in the tomatoes. And every culture in the world eats tomatoes, salsa, ketchup, pizza sauce, spaghetti sauce.
And they're one of the most GMO'd plants out there as well.
Exactly. And if they're saying that they're doing this to tomatoes and the tobacco, what other plants are they putting it in? I've been to about 10 different grocery stores. In the Google Drive, I'm trying to upload everything on Rumble, but I tattoo full-time. And
hey, that's okay. That's okay, because you're getting the information out there. So don't worry. It's still going to be imperative that you get it out. So as long as it takes, you'll get it on Rumble. I'm getting those videos. I know that I think you're in touch with another InfoWars producer to get that on the American Journal as well, right?
Mike, yes.
Yeah,
and here's
okay.
The other thing. I'm going to be a guinea pig on Wednesday. I'm starting chelation therapy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
So there you heard Seth doing the research, getting the information out, and then he mentions that he doesn't just stop with InfoWars. He goes over to the American Journal with Mike, and he's working with their producers, and I'd like to play the clip from him on the American Journal. This is about a 1 minute clip.
Let's go now to Seth in Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for calling in. Thank you for holding. Seth, you have a comment about the magnetic COVID particles. We got 45 seconds, but I want to get you on. Seth, you are on the air.
Hey, I called in on the War Room yesterday. I've been texting my unvaccinated friends. I've been talking to scientists and doctors that are experts in this. I'm doing the chelation therapy.
Chelation.
Tomorrow I'm starting chelation. It's a detox of heavy metals for the magnetoprotein. I have so much more information. I don't know if you can hold me over for after your next segment.
Well,
if
you want to stay on the line for about 30 minutes, I would love to go back to your call. Or if you want to call into War Room later, you can do that. But thanks so much for the call, Seth. We'll be right back with Mike Shelby. Don't go anywhere, folks. American Journal.
So then, listening to Seth's passion, remembering these emails, it all clicked, folks. This is all related. So how do we apply it to today's freaky deaky news headlines? Well, I find this on tapnewswire.com on June 7th, 2021, magnetogenetics and COVID-19 vaccines. So it opens up with Cayman products, SM-102, chloroform, and luferasafe faced in delivery of COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. Now, the product description for this SM-102 is it's the lipid shell that goes around the spike protein, because if you just injected a spike protein into your body or mind, your antibodies would surround it and destroy it. So what they've developed is this nanoparticle known as SM-102, an ionizable amino lipid that encloses the messenger RNA modified technology and the spike protein to allow it to get into your system. And this thing is being used now to deliver the mRNA-based vaccine. So this is the technology that Dr. Brittle was saying has been the vehicle. It's not the actual passenger, the actual cargo has not been tested. So these engineered protein crystals, they make cells magnetic. Here's another article that I just saw in the news, and this was published in 2019. September 25th in the American Chemical Society Journal. This is the ACS.org, and folks, I'm published in that journal back in the 80s. And this is basically saying that scientists can give living cells magnetic properties and then use the magnetic properties of these living cells to manipulate cellular activities with external magnetic fields. Isn't this all interesting? So they've been trying to do this for years, and they were using iron-containing proteins. So this ACS Nano Letter publication talks about these genetically encoded protein crystals that can generate forces many times stronger than the ferrocene they were using before. And then let's not forget the graphene. Now, by the way, folks, Jim Morris talked about all this, like I said, 12 years ago in his book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. And I talked to him, and he said, you got to read my book. Everything you're talking about on your show is in my book. And I never did. And then I picked it up here and started reading it about a month ago. And I wish I'd have read it 10, 12 years ago. So this new area of magnetogenetics, if you want to call it that, is being used to genetically encode proteins and then sensitize them to external magnetic fields so that the cells can be manipulated in various organs, in the brain. Now, a lot of previous approaches to this, like I said, used a iron storage protein called ferritin, and it can self-assemble into what they refer to as a ferritin cage, and it can have up to 4,500 iron atoms in it. But then you bring graphene into the picture, which micrographs have proven were in the mRNA vaccines. Graphene, folks, that's nanoparticles of carbon. And then we covered the magnetofection technology. So this is all coming together, folks. And then they turn HARP back on. Folks, are you getting the big picture here? Are you starting to see what's going on? These literally are crazy times. And I was talking to Seth yesterday, and I said, Seth, you're familiar with the book of Revelation. A lot of this stuff was talked about in there, the hive mind, wiping out a third of the population, then another third of the population through all sorts of calamities. And then I've been thinking, how are they, you know, the proverbial they, how are the powers that be going to be able to do this? What's their mode? Well, we see it now. It's the mRNA technology. And if that clip from Utopia is right, and we're starting to hear it now, they don't necessarily want to kill you. They just want to disable your reproductive capabilities. And all a few die on this way, no biggie. So these are perilous times we're living in, folks. And they should be a great motivation for you and me as believers to live for Jesus. So right now, folks, I'd like to change gears, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you using the spiritual gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you to fulfill God's plans for you in these end times? Well, that's the penultimate question, folks. Yeah, it doesn't matter how deeply you've been red-pilled. It doesn't matter how much you know about one of these topics. What matters is, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? And if you are sharing the truth, are you sharing it with love? And the reason I'm bringing that up is, truth without love, or love without truth, is highly ineffective. So most of you out there are truth warriors. So now what I want to share with you is the other ingredient that is necessary is you share truth. You know, if you go out there and just share truth, sometimes it's like a flamethrower. Sometimes it's like a big club, and it's ineffective. But when you couple truth with love, like St. Peter's telling us in this passage from his first epistle, where we're being challenged by Peter to think about what we ought to be doing and how we ought to be doing it. When we understand that Jesus could literally return at any moment. So there's five biblical truths in this passage I'm going to read to you, but I only want to focus on one of them. And we can call these five truths lifestyle for the end times. And I want to read this passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I want to read it to you. I want to just list the five biblical truths, and then I want to focus on one of them, and that one is love. So let me read this. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another, so as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And I'm going to add right here, amen. So there's five truths in there. I'm just going to bullet point them. One, we should be learning of his coming. Remember, he says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober. Then he goes on to say, we should be looking for his coming. He wrote, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober and watch. And then number three, we should be longing for his coming. Again, from verse 7, he wrote, not only watch, but watch unto prayer. And this is the prayer Maranatha. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And then fourthly, we should be loving. You know, we should be possessing this fervent charity as we learn of his coming, as we look for his coming, and as we long for his coming. And then, as we're loving, as we do these things, we should be laboring. So those are the five truths you can pull out of there. Now, what I want to do is look a little closer at verse 10, which says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So when Jesus returns, he should find you and me with our hearts filled with this fervent love. And that's out of verse 8. So today I want to focus specifically on this fervent love, this fervent charity. And it's so very important that as we share the truth, that we understand that it has to be shared in love. And that's what makes love the greatest virtue. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So the greatest virtue you or me could have, folks, is love. And it's also the greatest commandment, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great command. So since this is the first and greatest command, then we had better learn how to do it, amen? Because love's also the greatest testimony you and me can give to a lost and fallen world as they're looking around for answers, trying to make sense of all this. So just stop for a minute and think. What's going to convince another person that you and your fellow believers in Jesus Christ follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it the size of the building you go to on Sunday? Do you budget you have, you know, you have a TV show on Sunday mornings, the way the lawn looks out in front of the church, or maybe you have a television or radio show or a newspaper advertisement every week. No, none of that's going to do it. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And then he tells us what this is, that you have love one for another. So the truth here is, folks, the greatest testimony that any church could give, the greatest testimony that any Christian could give, the best way of communicating the gospel and sharing the truth is for others to see you live what Jesus said. Okay? When you love one another. And then the Bible says, behold how they love one another. So love is the greatest virtue. It's the greatest commandment. It's the greatest testimony, and it should be our greatest motivation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us. Now, that means nothing should motivate you or me more than a heart full of love for Jesus, especially when you're out there sharing this kind of truth. You have to know, folks, that Jesus loves you, and he loves you regardless. And then when you share this truth, you have to let that love of Jesus temper all that truth you share with people. And then finally, number five, love is the greatest confirmation. You ever wonder what it truly means to be saved? Well, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So if your heart is full of hate, if your heart is full of doubt and unbelief, I'm telling you something, folks. You need to be saved. Love and this fervent charity that we're talking about here is the mark of a child of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. So it's obvious that Peter's saying here that above all else, love is more important. It's more important than the truth. It's more important than food. It's more important than anything else. You have to go around with this fervent charity. That's why Peter said, above all, have fervent charity one for another. And then the last question I'm going to ask you is, what kind of love is this? Well, first of all, like I said in the opening, it's a love that costs. And he's talking about a very costly love here, folks. The word fervent literally means stretched out, and it's conveying this idea of an athlete who's stretching every muscle in his body as he crosses the finish line, or that basketball player making that slam dunk, or the baseball player that puts every ounce of – you remember when McGuire broke the home run record? Did you ever watch his swings, how powerful they were? Every muscle in his body was put into that ball bat as he knocked that baseball over the fence. So that's the type of love that we're to share, that fervent love. There's a price to pay to do that. You know, an athlete pays a price when he practices to win. And Paul's using that same figure of speech to encourage you and me when we practice this love. It's the same thing a weightlifter does in the gym when he's saying things like, no pain, no gain, you know? I was a gym rat growing up, folks, and that's the truth. There's no pain. If there's no pain, there's no gain. So Peter's saying there's no such thing as cheap love. The truth is that true love, this fervent charity, costs. And that's the kind of love we're to have in these last days, is we're sharing truth with one another. And it's also a love that covers. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, he wrote, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity, now this word charity actually is translated as agape. And agape in Greek is the highest love of all. It's the godly love, the love that you and me can't do on our own. Yet Peter tells us to have this agape love above all else. Well, here Peter's quoting Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, where he says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Contrasting hate and love. And what the enemy wants you and me to do is to be stirred up, to be driven by fear. But Peter's saying, whoa, 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 there's a better way, and that way is love. Now, hatred takes joy in exposing the weakness of others, but love shines light on the truth in a way that looks at the person who's receiving it and meters the flow of that truth so that you don't flood them with too much or drown them with too much. Like they say they're thirsty, so you say, well, put your mouth up to the fire hydrant, and then you open it all the way, and you blow them across the street. That's not what sharing the truth is. But when you share the truth in love, you crack that valve open, you give them just enough, and you watch them. So if you take a great delight in exposing the truth to others, and you watch and you look for these shocked deer-in-the-headlight expressions, that's not sharing truth in love. Because love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love doesn't want to see another person, and love wishes to delight in the truth with the other, and you've got to be able to communicate that truth to them. You remember in Genesis, the Bible talks about Noah, and when he came out of the ark, he got drunk. Well, drunkenness is a horrible affliction, and a lot of people can destroy their lives with alcohol. And Noah's drunkenness was recorded in the Bible, and there's no excuse for that. Now, when he got drunk, he became foolish, and he laid naked in a drunken stupor, Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. And he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. And Ham came and saw his father's nakedness and ran out and exploited the situation, told his brothers and others about it. He was stirring it up, you know. Now, it was true that Noah was laying there naked, but he didn't take that information and handle it with love. But then Shem and Jephthah, they took a covering, and while looking back, covered their father. So they knew the truth, and they dealt with it with love. And that's what we need to do too, folks. Edgar Guest said this, and I'd like to read this quote. Edgar Guest said that, let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those around me. Let me praise a little more. And folks, I'm telling you, that's exactly what fervent love does. So rather than rejoicing in iniquity, we should rejoice in the truth as we share it with others in a way that they can receive it. Now, Peter's saying that Jesus is coming back soon, and he is. And we need to have a love that costs, this fervent love, and we need to practice that love because it covers, and we need to have this love because others will see that this sort of love cares. And here Peter continues and gets real personal and practical. He goes on to say, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That's in verse 9. And this means to put your love into shoe leather and make it happen, you know. Go out there and help others. In this day, you know, hospitality was a very important thing because they didn't have hotels. They didn't have places for travelers to stay, so you had to show hospitality. And that was the way that people, you know, managed to travel. They had to have, other people had to open up their homes. And that's the same way they shared the gospel in the beginning. People opened up their homes every day. Now, if you were going to gripe about it, well, why are they coming over to our house tonight, hon? Peter's saying, do it without grudging. You know, there may have been a traveling minister. Maybe it was St. Paul himself. He was coming into town. Well, the tradition was to put him up, practice that hospitality without grudging. Peter's saying that real love, it's practical, and it's more than just words. It costs you. It covers, and it shows through these actions that you care. And that's how you have to share the truth, folks. So when Jesus comes, I'm going to ask you this question. Is he going to find your hearts filled with love? Will he be pleased with your church? Is he going to find your church filled with love? You know, the great desire for our fellowship at Sozo's was to remain doctrinally pure, and we did our very best at that. We didn't want to be embracing any doctrine of an individual man or congregation or denomination. What we wanted to do was embrace the doctrines of God as depicted by the doctrines of the apostles. Now, I believe there are two dangerous things, truthless love and loveless truth. And God help you and me that we speak the truth in love and that our fellowships are places that you and me can see people, believer and unbeliever alike, and hear them all say, behold how they love one another. Now, folks, if you're doing that, and I know we'll all make some mistakes along the way. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. But if we make that fervent charity, and if we make that the core of everything that we do, we'll have a love that covers. And together we'll give Jesus praise, honor, and glory. And when he returns, he's not going to find his children bickering or quarreling. He's going to find us loving one another as we delight in the truth. And that's the proper lifestyle for all of us believers here in these last days, these days of lawlessness. And who can't deny it's lawless right now? We've got to be careful because these days are also becoming loveless. And Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow or wax cold. So I pray that you have this fervent, genuine love in your hearts. And finally, there's one last thing that ought to be true about our lifestyles in these last days. And I'm going to kind of give it to you as a question. Are you going to be doing? So you learned about his coming, and we should be looking for his coming. And we should be longing for his coming. And we should be laboring as we wait for his coming. But then I'm going to ask you this question. If you're doing all those and you're not doing them in love, none of the other stuff really matters. So let me just ask you this one more time. Are you doing this, learning, longing, laboring, looking? Are you doing it in love? Well, if not, folks, I encourage you to start that right now. And then in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in. Never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Well, folks, I muted my mic. I apologize. And just remember that as you do this, you're going to say, boy, this is rough. I just don't know if I can do it. Well, you can. And you can do it through that same power that rose Jesus from the grave. So now let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and sing along with that same power.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation.
where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.